Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, welcome to the 384th episode of Just Shoot It, a podcast about filmmaking, screenwriting, and directing. This episode is brought to you by patron Ben Steer. I'm Adam Lum.
And I'm Warren Kaplan, and today we are talking about the struggle and the hustle of being a filmmaker. Don't rewind. This isn't a replay of an old episode. It's just a replay of what's going on in our minds every day this year. I saw some article in the LA Times about the struggle of being an actor in Hollywood. I feel like it's relatable to people. And right now we are in the midst of a do you call it the strike or do you call it like a double strike? Like, do you talk about it as strikes?
No, I call it the strike. I think SAG joined the WGA in a strike again.
Even though they are asking for different things and might be resolved separately. Most likely be resolved separately.
Yeah.
As we're reporting, it's
day 100 of a strike, which is... Oh, yeah. Notable for two reasons. One, 100 is a nice round number, but two, that's how long the previous WGA strike lasted. So we are officially
2008
in the 2008 strike. It was 100 days. Yeah. And also, if memory serves, and it may not, but we kind of knew by like day 97, 98 that like 100 was going to be the day that it was over. Like we could sense in the wind that like negotiations were going well and all that. And like the exact opposite is happening for us currently.
So, yeah, but I do think like part of the strike is just opening everyone's eyes. I actually don't know if the rest of the world cares, but it's definitely opening up Angelino's eyes to how much hustling and how much struggling like all the people in the arts do. And I saw like Billy Porter like has to like get rid of his house. Yeah, and he's like a genuine celebrity that broke out big and is doing big things.
Has multiple shows. Yeah. The jobs went away basically because of the strike.
Yeah. And I had lunch with a friend yesterday. They got laid off because the studios are, you know, trying to pay less people, even on the inside. So, it just kind of reminded me about our own struggles and hustles. And I think a lot of people will relate to definitely to the hustle. And obviously, you know, those words are somewhat interchangeable. I think to me, like a hustle is more about just like you working your ass off, and a struggle is just something that you wish you had a better way of dealing with.
Yeah. The hustle is like you're striving and the struggle is your coping, maybe.
Yeah. I like that. But before we pop into talking about that, I was curious if you felt like the strike, the writers and the actors strike is affecting you. In what ways it's affecting you like on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, it's pretty tangible for me and my family because my wife is an actor and her side hustle is as an acting coach for working professionals. And so...
All right. Does she do mainly kids or does she also do adult actors?
Yeah, kids and young adults and plenty of adults as well. But yeah, like kids is an area of expertise for sure. She's been doing it for a long time and it's been a really nice, it's like an ideal job for an actor. You have, you know, like if you need to sell a class because of an audition, everyone gets it and it makes you more valuable, you know.
You'd rather get advice from a working actor,
than not. Yeah.
A non-working actor.
Yeah. So it's been really a wonderful gig, but it is very seasonal. It's tied to whether people are auditioning or not. And she has regular clients and classes that she teaches and all of that. But between it being slow in the summer, pretty typically, and that also know when having an audition, our income is dipped pretty significantly, you know? And you forget how much you need money.
I don't.
Yeah, you're like, oh, wait, yeah, I noticed this. We feel it in a very tangible way. I haven't felt this broke in a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. I think the other thing people don't realize that much is the side hustles of even like the working people in Hollywood. Like, I think you hear of actors being like servers or like the slashers. Like, I'm a server slash partner. It's like, I work catering, I do valet, and then I act. But I feel like that has like an element of like, I just moved to Hollywood and I'm trying to make it for the first couple of years.
Yeah. You don't realize that's at this point, that's most actors have to have some other form of income.
Right. I think
working actors, I should say.
Yeah. You know. But I think a lot of them like kind of graduate from the server valet catering mode and do like what, you know, your wife does. Like she teaches other actors how to audition. I mean, we know actors that put other actors on tape. We know people that do all sorts of coaching. We know directors that write treatments for other directors, right? Like, I do visual effects on the side, for other filmmakers. So I think there is this, like, when we're all competing for like a limited number of jobs, we all have to have other jobs that are supporting even the people that we're up against, because that's kind of how the machine of Hollywood works, right? Like, not everyone gets to be a director or an actor. A lot of people have to be supporting the support staff of them. And so if your side job is as a support staff person in some way, then you can survive. But when the entire industry shuts down, that part gets really difficult.
Warren, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. Whenever things are really dry, you often will hear from reps or the people that you're working with, but like the A-lister who normally are shooting movies and TV shows and kind of moonlight in the commercial world, are gobbling up those jobs that they would normally be too busy to take. And therefore, the people who are, you know, maybe not household names, but normally do those jobs, end up taking the lower tier jobs, and then it kind of trickles down. And so, like, when we're in your mid to upper tier directing gigs, it gets a little scarce because celebrities are now taking the job that you're competition with. Though it's, you know,
I'm pitching against David Fincher. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Who would never be pitching on this job.
Who would just be busy otherwise. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I was actually afraid of that happening. And from what I've seen, it hasn't happened that much. I think it could be because I work in this budget level where some of these directors like would just rather not work.
They just wouldn't do it. Yeah.
Than figure out how to make a commercial for a certain amount of money. Or with like less support staff than they're used to. I've found it interesting is like the way I've been most affected, you know, working primarily in commercials, is that I am just having so many people reach out to me. So many people.
Yeah.
Directors, DPs, editors, composers.
And I want to say I love all of the people that we work with. Mm-hmm. It's truly, and I want to help them and want only the best for them. It's a little triggering. Anytime I get a text from a person like I worked with 7 years ago, that's like, hey man, it's really rough out there. Anything going on? It makes me so sad because they're talented. I want them to work. And also it's just a reminder that like, it's kind of dire out there.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like for me, like I'll get a lot of texts that are like, hey, Oren, you know, saw you did this project on Instagram, like would love to grab coffee, like love your style. And I'm like, okay, you're the DP that like for the last 12 projects told me you have absolutely no time to like even talk to me, you know? So it's like, on one hand, I'm excited to maybe have access to these DPs and editors and composers and production designers that I normally wouldn't. I might have a shoot tomorrow and the production designer is like incredible. And I've been trying to work with him. He's been recommended to me and for like years, and he's never, ever, ever been available. Big TV, like Emmy winning TV production designer. Now he's doing this tiny thing for me tomorrow. So I think that's cool. But I'm getting like a lot of directors reaching out to me recently. I don't know if you are too, but it's like,
a little
hey,
bit, yeah.
How do I get in this commercial game? Like, can you recommend any production companies that you think would be a good fit for me? And I'm like, I could maybe sit down and do some work and help you figure out what's right for you. But also like, I don't want to be competing with you. I don't want to like bring you into my world, especially if you do kind of similar things to me, to be like extra competition. And I'm like working hard to pitch you.
Yeah.
And also like, yes, you made an awesome movie. You made an awesome episode of TV. You made an awesome, this awesome, like, I'm trying to find my own angles of like why I think people should hire me. Like, I don't want to be responsible for your angle, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I think it's also like, we've talked about this a lot off and on the mic. You have to love commercials to be good at it, you know? So there's a little bit of like, you know, I think there's a mentality from actors and directors or everybody, but where it's like, well, I'll make my living in commercials and do my art on this. I'll do theater to make me happy and commercials to pay the bills. And it's like, well, yeah, that's true in a certain sense. You know, that was true for me for a long time. But also you have to love commercials in order to book them in the first place. Like, it's too competitive otherwise.
Yeah, it's also just a super different skill to pitch and win a commercial job that I don't know that feature directors and TV directors are really great at, unless it's like the exact right commercial for them. It's interesting. But overall, I mean, my wife is also an actor at 1000%. Like, all the theatrical auditions have basically disappeared. I know there's some indie films that are going, but it's become very competitive because they can basically get any actor they want now because everyone's available. So it's harder, you know, at a non-famous level to be getting a lot of auditions. And I think people are still scared, even in the indie film world, you know, of like something happening or being shut down or not getting the waiver from SAG or whatever. It's a big risk. So anyhow, the strike, I'm hoping it ends soon. You said might not end until next year.
Yeah, I mean, the IOTC renegotiation, like, I'm sure the kind of the next big hurdle, though, you know, I know that like a lot of the, I don't know what you call them, reports, basically announcements about how all of the different corporations are doing came out just recently, like Netflix at the time about their, you know, numbers, and Disney and all those places, and
the earning report,
thank you, because they're not spending money on making things. You know, they've got this kind of inadvertent cash flow that's keeping their numbers healthy, but like, that's going to dissipate relatively quickly. Hopefully I have a resolution to all this. So fingers crossed.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. Until then, it's mac and cheese for me, baby.
Until then, your only form of new entertainment is the Just Shoot It podcast. Make sure to tell your friends if you want to support us. Check out Patreon, patreon.com/justshootitpod. It's where you can throw us $1, $2, $4, $20, $2,000 a month to help the podcast go. It's 100% voluntary, and your money is literally just going to pay our editor, our server fees, and all those things. And we really, really do appreciate it. 8 years, 9 years, I have no idea how long we've been doing this, but longer than everyone else, except for the script notes, guys. I'll admit that. Thank you. Patreon.com/justshootitpod. We really appreciate it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Kaplan, hit us with the struggle.
Yes. So my first struggle is about post-production. I feel like I am working really hard in pre-production, really hard on scripts, really hard on figuring out the right crew, the right cast, all the stuff, production, shooting, fighting for things, the lenses and the cameras and the angles and the performances. And I'm getting to the first cut and I'm like getting an okay edit and I feel like it's promising and I give some notes and then I am just struggling with everything else going on in my life, the kids and the trips and summer and camps. And
you really have been out of town for like a month and a half, I feel like.
I've been doing a lot of traveling this summer and I just feel like I'm struggling to keep up on post-production. And I told you this before we started recording, but I feel like if I did half the number of jobs and spent twice the amount of time on each job, that from a career standpoint, I would be farther, because I feel like I'm just killing myself to get jobs and to shoot them and fighting so hard to get the next job. You know, and it, as you all know, a lot of times you have to fight over and over and lose and lose and lose until you win. But in the midst of those struggles to get the next job, I'm letting the post-production fall by the wayside and I'm not getting final cuts that I love, that I want to put on my website, that I want to like blast on Instagram, that I want to like show the world. And I remember when I made my feature, I think this is potentially a good lesson to the one person out there that doesn't realize this, but sometimes when I made my feature, I was working full time for Disney and I took like 2 months off to go to New York to shoot the movie. Again, killed myself. I put in like a ton of my own hard earned money into it. It was just like a real passion project, labor of love. And I finally had to go back to work because I had to like make money again to like survive. And I remember I told my boss at the time, Mike, I was like, Mike, I'm having a real hard time like working on the edit while working at Disney and like trying to be good at my job. I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, maybe I can work like 4 days a week and take one day off. And he said, he's like, look, Oren, I've seen this before. Like, people do like 90% of the work. You know, they get the money, they get the script, they get this, they get that. And finally, at the very end, right before the movie's done, like they've completely run out of steam. But that is actually the most important time to make something, and we know that we can take like mediocre footage and make an awesome edit, but it's equally easy or even way easier to take good footage and make a mediocre edit, whether it's the color grade, whether it's the editing itself, whether it's you know, the sound design or the music or whatever, I'm just really struggling to follow through on my project. And I feel like it's 2023, it's August, and I have yet to, I've shot a good amount of stuff this year, but I've yet to take something that I've shot this year and put it on my website because I just haven't, you know, figured out how to follow through enough to get these things to be where I want them to be.
Yeah. Yeah. In prepping for this episode, we talked about them a tiny bit, but there's that element of the struggle. And then there's also the freelancer mentality that I think right now you really epitomize. It's not like if every job that you were taking paid twice as well, that you would do half as many. You'd still do them, just have more money socked away for when there's a draft, right? And so
yeah, it's almost like not even about the money. It's about this thing. It might be slightly related to your struggle that as freelance filmmakers, we feel like if we turn down an opportunity, they won't come back to us with more opportunities. So it's that fear of like, hey, Warren, would you be interested in hearing about this thing that like totally doesn't work for your schedule and isn't a good budget and is really hard and the creative's not good?
You're on vacation, like, you're on a submarine.
But
maybe you can talk to them about like timing the breach so that you guys are up for air and you'll get Wi-Fi exactly. signal at the right time.
My answer 100% of the time is like, sure, I'll check out the creative. Send it to me, you know, and you're engaged, you know, no matter what. So, you know, obviously getting more jobs and getting paid more money is good when that works out, but it's more about the fear of saying no to opportunities that are coming from certain people. Obviously, you know, some people, it's easy to say, sorry, I don't have time to do this free thing for you or whatever. But when someone that you know might lead to other jobs offers you something, it's really, really hard to say no, because we've seen it. We know it happens. You turn something down and they go to the next person, and then that's
and
their
then
person
they,
from
they
now on.
The person. Yeah, for sure. And we've been that person too.
So that's my struggle. I'm curious if other people are thinking. I guess I would ask for advice, but it's just so obvious what it is, which is like, hey, just follow through on the post, you know, just like do the thing you're saying you're struggling to
do the thing, like, and pick your battles too, right? Like surrender if you know you don't have time for some of them. You know, there's like a handful of jobs I can think of off the top of my head that are such a time commitment that if you followed through on them the way you want to, it would take the rest of your year, basically. Don't do those. Do the little ones, you know. But good luck. Godspeed. I get it. You know, it's really hard to like bust your butt and then not love the product in the end. And that can be really, really frustrating.
Yeah. And I have seen, you know, I went to the DGA, had like the commercial directors that were nominated for best commercial of the year or whatever. And every single one of those directors does their own edit. They bring their editor on and they sit with them and they spend weeks and they're in the grade and they're doing this. And I see like some of the other directors at art class that are like the kind of top directors on the roster. And I know they're just like micromanaging every frame of the edit. I mean, a commercial is like freaking 600 and, you know, 720 frames or something. Like, you need to micromanage every frame if you want it to be exquisite. You got any struggles? You're just happy. You're just always happy.
My struggle, I'm like, you know, I don't have room to complain. That's true. Listeners will know I've got kind of three different lives happening. I'm show running for a podcasting network. I've got my commercial directing career. I also have an indie feature that's moving and grooving, taking up a decent amount of my time, which is great. And so no room to complain, but my commercial career.
And you also have a side hustle building cowboy tubs and
cowboy tubs.
Care of 1 year olds.
Bend over a minute, but yeah, I do have a new family and stuff as well. So, but truly, the zoo calls. You know, we got a Huntington Gardens annual pass. We're trying to get our money's worth on that. It's great. But like, yeah.
You mean the literal zoo.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, but your point being like my
personal life, my family life, it's a little more time consuming than I had, but it's a lot easier to kind of like do your own thing, you know, all of that. So, so with that many plates spinning, it's something shall I give. I didn't nurture my commercial career as much as I would have liked. I'm not hustling as hard on that. And so as a result, I'm not shortlisting like I used to. And that's pretty frustrating. And, you know, I'm in that situation where my life is leveled out pretty well. Like, it would be great to go shoot that thing for two, you know, every month. Right. I don't need it, but it would be really nice. And there are muscles that I don't get to use otherwise in the rest of my life right now. And so I can feel my reel getting a little older. I've got recent work that I'm really proud of, but you can see, I look at your career. I look at like how things are going for you. I know boards are coming in now. Commercials are bad. And it's like, you know, you just, I was in the mix one of those that over this weekend and it felt really good to like, just right. Be like,
and just to be, just to clarify for our listeners, when you say you're in the mix, is you were on a list of directors that were being shown to an agency to potentially pitch on a project.
And this was something where it was like a little bit further. I've been in the mix, quote unquote, on lots of things. I was close on one. I was like not officially shortlisted, but it felt imminent, you know, like we were talking to companies about putting together a bid and like, it was further down the line than it had been in a minute.
Just to remind people, shortlisted means that you are being considered to direct something.
And you're one of likely three finalists, basically. Like you passed the first couple check marks. So yeah. Like it's, the odds are one in three, not one in 1,000. Right.
Right. You're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, it felt good to just be like thinking about, oh, like, who would I hire for this? How do we put together the team? I'm texting you to be like, hey, what producer do you know in New York or whatever? You know, all of that stuff that I hadn't done, you know, in a couple months. And
yeah, there's like that, we're going to get the band back together excitement every new potential project.
Yeah. And look, I shot a great campaign, you know, in January where I got to work with a lot of people that I really love. So like, it's not like I toured that long ago with that band, so to speak, but still, you know, it was like just a different part of my life and it felt familiar. And I think maybe now that I'm saying it out loud, there is the personal angle of like, my life has changed very much. You know, like I live in a different part of town. I've got a baby. I don't go out after 7 p.m. unless special circumstance. So like, but the thing I miss more than like going to dinners or concerts or movies is shooting. You know, I have a regular life now. And, so getting a taste of like, oh, a calf job would be a pod, and who do I bring with me and all that stuff. Got me excited for a second.
Yeah. So the struggle is figuring out like how to update your reel while balancing all the other things.
Yeah. I think it's like, how do you keep all of the plate spinning metaphorically, and specifically, how do you stay relevant in every aspect of your career? Right. And I think this is maybe surprisingly more relatable than I feared. You go away, you go make a movie, and then your TV career falls by the wayside until the movie comes out, which takes a while. Or, you know, like, I think people have these problems as working directors when they're taken off for a big project, whether it's a personal project or a big life project, or frankly, just a lull in a certain part of their business, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think there's three things. I know you're not asking me for advice, but three ideas.
Yeah.
Number one, you'll never do. I would never do. Horrible idea. I'm just putting it out there for the listeners. Is you shoot a spec commercial. Number two, more likely You fake your own death.
I wouldn't do that. I love faking my own death. And I've got just so many extra passports lying around.
You fake your own death. You leave your family for 2 months. You don't even worry about attending the funeral and seeing who shows up or anything. You're just working nonstop, you know, 17 hours a day on your jobs. You're doing your main job. You're doing a side job. You're whatever. You're pretending you're like a 22-year-old person again and living that lifestyle for a couple months. Just improving your, like handling, spinning all the plates. Or number three, which we talked about, and this is a job unto its own, but it's, I think, slightly more manageable, and you started doing it. There was a blip of you doing this, and then you stopped. And I've been really bad about doing this too recently. But it's the social media thing.
Sure.
Yeah. It's the, if you aren't making a new thing to show people, if you don't have a new short film or a new Vimeo staff pick or a new trailer for your movie or episode of whatever pilot script or a commercial, but you've got these plates spinning. And you're posting like, hey, look at this is how we're breaking down the script on my show I'm show running. You know, this is how we do location scouts. This is how we do this. I think, at least reminding people that to think of you when thinking of filmmaking. And I think it aids. It's a little different in the commercial world. Like a lot of it is about your reel. But I do think if you're pitched.
You're not wrong. I think there is a little bit of like, I almost need four accounts. I need the account of just my family. I need the account of my feature. I need the account of my commercial. I mean, like have my show running because like, I guess I get a little apprehensive of like, oh, Matt, you're off running the show. This is crazy. That's cool. Congratulations. I guess we shouldn't send you this pitch for this commercial that shoots in Brazil. Do you know what I mean? Do you ever get apprehensive about that?
No. I think 100% of the time work begets work. And when people think you're busy, and you have some availability for them, mm-hmm. then they feel like they're lucky they got you.
No, you're right.
And the thing that you obviously can always drop is like the family. Like that's like not literally leave your family.
Why do you think I have this pile of passports, Oren?
No, the social media for your family is like just for you and your friends, and it's fun. And like, I honestly like Instagram specifically, you have stories and you have posts. And to me, the stories is like, hey, I'm eating at this cool restaurant. Or like I'm doing this location scout and here's my kid on a scissor lift or whatever. And the posts are like, hey, this is what I'm like interested in. This is like going to be a forever thing on my social media. Not as important. You could just post like, hey, check out this cool camera move I did.
Sure. Yeah.
Or like, you know, Yuki, DP buddy, like is just constantly just posting stories of like cool gear he's playing, you know?
Yeah.
And just reminding people, hey, if you ever need this gear, call me, you know?
Yeah. I know how to use it.
Got it. I know how to use it. Yeah.
No, I think that's right. I think it's a little bit of what I hesitate to say time management, but bandwidth, basically, you know?
Yeah.
My days fly by, man. We barely have time for this podcast.
It's that, and it's the, like, today at 6 p.m., I laid on the living room floor, told my kids to stand on my back, and I took a 20-minute nap. Like, just hard to even stay awake for, you know, like, let alone go sit down and like write some great idea, you know? Anyhow.
Yeah. Well,
those are the struggles.
Oren, tell me about your hustle.
So my hustle, obviously related to my struggle, is that I feel like I'm constantly spending like all weekend trying to get jobs. I just went on vacation, and on Friday, someone's like, hey, what do you think about these scripts? And I basically had to spend all weekend thinking about these things, talking about them, pitching them, looking up images, looking up videos.
While you were out of town.
While I was like trying to relax at the pool, you know, with the family. And I feel like constantly just answering text messages, answering emails, trying to stay in the game. And yeah, that's my hustle for the week. And, you know, I think there's no answer to it unless you decide to say like, hey, here's my out of office email, you know?
Yeah. Which I think, you know, one can do, right? Like part of the reason why you have a team with this production company, so that like, you know, you can be a little bit, you still have to be as active, but like there are other people to answer for you. So you can be like, hey, I'm out in town, guys, field these emails, you know, for instance. Easier said than done. And like, it's a symbiotic relationship, so you can't just like pass them the ball and expect them to like, you know, run it down the court. But
yeah, usually it's I'm emailing them.
You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
exactly.
Yeah, it is like just this never ending hustle. Again, it's like another thing that in the strikes, you know, we've heard actors talk about putting themselves on tape and like running to audition places, spending $100 on an audition, buying a new wardrobe, like setting up lights, doing all these things. And then it's like them against 100 people. And then they decide, hey, they're just going to offer the role to someone famous.
Yeah.
It's like the hustle. I mean, if you are a newer person trying to get into this business, just I hope you enjoy the hustle.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, honestly, I think like, look, I've known you for a long time now. Like you do like it. And like you are stressed by it and you would rather be able to turn it off when you want to.
Someone I was working with worked with Seth Rogen pretty closely, and they said that he, you know, he's got the laugh, you know, his like Seth Rogen, but he said that he's just like when they're working, he's like 100% business. There's no chit chat. It's not like, hey, oh, I like your shirt, that's cool. Like, what's it? How's it going? Where are you from? He's like, we get in the room and he's just like, okay, here's the idea. This doesn't work. This works. Let's do this. We're going to do that. And let me know, just show me like what it looks like, you know, tomorrow. And I just thought it was interesting because this guy that like, clearly one of the biggest stoners, most famous stoners in the world, it's like constantly high. But the fact that like even this guy is just constantly at, you know, so far into his career where he's also probably one of the most successful producers in Hollywood right now.
Yeah.
Is just like, okay, here we go. Step one, step two, step three. Like, there's no chill.
You know?
It was interesting to me. What about you? You've been doing some hustling.
Hustling,
part
yeah.
of the reason this episode might be a day late.
Yeah, I think it is. So as I mentioned before, the movie stuff is like kind of my front burner beside the day job. And you know, we've been sort of trepidatious about strike stuff and this and that. And now that waivers or rather, I should say the Infinity of Agreement, which is SAG, offers basically a contract for people who are not affiliated with the AMPTP, wherein you can work with SAG actors again. And essentially, the agreement is we, as producers, will give you everything that SAG is asking for, and or whatever we all ultimately agree on when the strike ends, basically. So like you'll get the deal that everyone else gets. And so that has empowered us to get out there, start making offers, you know, like that takes a lot of just time and brain space. And I've been waking up early and staying up late and, you know, taking meetings in a way that I hadn't before, which is great and exhilarating. But, you know, you're just, again, spending all those plate for it. So hopefully this is the other category that you didn't mention, but hopefully the prestige of any feature that does well at festivals means something to commercials as well. And I think it does. I think it does. I know you're pursing your lips in apprehension, but we certainly know directors who are doing great. I mean, Jocelyn and Don, I think, are doing great. I know they're doing great. Shout out, intensely talented filmmakers. I think the greener grass, their hit indie film, has a lot to do with that. Yeah.
And I think you were talking about what happened last night.
Yeah. I mean, I had to reschedule an episode of the podcast with a guest I was very excited about because I had an investor in town that I wanted to like say hello to and reconnect with. And, you know, there's just a lot of relationships that you have to nurture. You know, you have to stay on your producers. You have to just put in that personal effort. And, you know, it feels good. It's exciting. But also, to your point about being 22, it's like a little harder to, you know, drive across town when you've got a baby sleeping in your front room.
Like the interesting thing about the hustles and kind of how I look at them in terms of like the Hollywood hustle is that part of what makes them exhausting is that we just don't get paid for this hustle, you know? Like I don't get paid to pitch on a job. You don't get paid to go dine and wine an investor, you know? On the flips, like on the contrary, we're spending money, spending resources, spending time to go invest in these potentials. So, you know, we're kind of playing the odds, right? Like you meet with three investors, you hope one invests. I pitch on three things, hope that one lands.
I wish the odds were that good. That'd be great.
Yeah. Or maybe one in five, whatever it is. It's, so it's that hustle is real. And again, it's like you and I have both been here for 20 years, you know, like, and we're still hustling. And God knows the actors, you know, like, I mean, a lot of my actor friends, to be honest, a few of them kind of made it and are doing okay, but most of them left the business. But when we were younger, like I'd be like, hey, so are we going out to dinner and doing that thing or going to this party? And they're like, nope, got an audition, last minute audition. It's five pages, got to rehearse, you know.
Sure. How many vacations have you come early for or like done self-tape from wherever you were?
We've done a ton of self-tapes like from all over the world. And I'd love to hear about everyone else's hustles and struggles. You know, we did that episode about being overwhelmed and we got a lot of emails of people saying they can relate, which I was happy about because, you know, again, we complain when we don't work and we complain when we do work. So I like that other people like to hear us complain.
I like that you said we. That's great.
You just do it in a way, you like try to paint it as not complaining, but well, I think my complaining is about my life and your complaining is about my complaining.
All right.
We're both complaining in a certain way. Before we finish all of our complaining, do you have a second to endorse something?
Unpaid endorsements.
Okay, so my unpaid endorsement, I think I like this one, Oren, is a YouTube channel called CGY, the letter CGY. And they are video essays on CG, basically. So like I watched one just recently about like the VFX behind District 9 and why they're so good. And so I think it's actually pretty helpful for a director who maybe doesn't endeavor to do the VFX themselves, don't want to be more conversant. Certainly they're smart and thoughtful and like, you know, a cool lens to look at different films through. And it's pretty great. You know, I always find like a video essay or a VFX tutorial is my two favorite ways to kind of decompress and play procrastinate. And this combines them. So the YouTube channel CGY. Kaplan, what you got, buddy?
So I've actually endorsed this before and I've never used it. but do you remember Soundly? I think I mentioned it in the podcast before. It's a site I've been really wanting to check it out, and I think it's grown a lot. GetSoundly.com is this platform for sound effects and music and things, and you can search their giant library for a monthly subscription. You can even do like a 24-hour subscription if you're just working on a project right now and you're just missing some sound effects. You can also use it to sort all your own sound effects that you own on a hard drive and put them all in one database. The biggest problem with sound effects is like searching them, right? And putting them all together. So it kind of does that for you. But again, I haven't used it, but I think it does some really intelligent things like AI stuff where you can be like a wolf howling and it will give you like wind whistling, you know, like things that are related
that you might need. Interesting.
Yeah. And also that you might be able to like put sound effects in and it'll find you similar ones and things like that. But the reason I brought it up is because one of the edits I got from the editor, or this thing I shot last week, he had the temp VO in there. And, you know, usually how do we do temp VO? It's like the editor just records the voiceover or the assistant or something. And it's usually pretty bad. But I was like, oh, this temp VO is not bad. And I had a suspicion, but I asked just to be sure. And I was like, where is this? Who recorded this temp VO? It sounds pretty good. And he was like, oh, I use Soundlead AI generated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is like, it's not like, like I would definitely 1,000,000% cast someone and do it, just try to hit a a slightly more interesting performance. But for temp, you cannot, it, like, it sounds as if I gave like a professional voice actor a script and they just read it. Maybe they didn't care about it and they're not like punching certain words and not other words, but it sounds like a normal human being reading words. And I know that this is part of what the problem is, but it was really impressive as like a tool for editors to temp things in and figure out the soundscape. I haven't used it, but I know now quite a few like super pro editors that do work on big commercials and things that subscribe to it. So if it's something that you're interested in, they don't sponsor us or anything, but they are welcome to getsoundly.com.
Awesome.
Okay. If you want to find us, we're on social media at Just Shoot a Pod. We got our Threads account going yet? I'll work on that. I'll get that. We'll get it on Instagram. Great way to find us. We're on Twitter/X if you want to tweet at us or post at us, whatever it's called now. But you can find us at Just Shoot a Pod. You can email us justshootapod@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, especially if as it pertains to any topic we talk about or topics you want us to talk about. You can find me, I'm on Instagram @okaplan.
And I'm @MrMattEnlow across all social media, including Letterboxd. And I see you. People have been signing up. I appreciate it. Make it feel good. The only good social network. This episode was edited by Noah Bajor, who's also on Letterboxd, and produced by Tyler Smoy. But thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.